This time I'll invite you to please stand as you are able for the reading of our gospel. Our gospel comes to us today from Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, beginning with verse 16. We hear these words. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. They clothed Jesus in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. They began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In August of 2012, there was a comedy show at a renowned comedy club in Los Angeles. A comedian named Tig Notaro was scheduled to go on, one of the premier comedians and television writers in the L.A. comedy scene. She'd been away for a little bit, and this was a sort of triumphant return to the stage. The crowd was abuzz that night. A lot of her comedian colleagues excited to see what kind of new material she might break out. Her name was announced. The audience cheered. There was electricity in the air as she stood at the mic. "Hello," she said. "Good evening. Hello. Hi." It was her next sentence that would forever mark this night as different from other nights. She started in, "Hello. Good evening. Hello. Hi. I have cancer," she said. What followed were 29 minutes of stand-up comedy that have become something of a legend in the comedy world. Because 4 days earlier, she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. 4 months prior to that, she spent time in the hospital with pneumonia and C. diff. As if that wasn't enough, she also went through a tough breakup and lost her mother in a freak accident just months before. She'd been holding these things inside for so long and began to work through them in her thoughts of such grief and uncertainty that she just needed to get them out. People had come packed into this club expecting a comedy show. But what they received instead was a front row seat to a colleague and a friend working through grief and immense loss underneath the brightest of stage lights. They came expecting one thing, but it turned into something else entirely. I wonder if you've ever had a moment like that in your life, right? Maybe not as intense as this, hopefully. But I think it speaks so well to the disorientation we can feel when everything is turned upside down. This is what happens to the crowds when they gather in Jerusalem for the Passover. There are these entire interactions that happen, Jesus and his disciples coordinating their entry to align with the prophecies of the Hebrew prophets, who talk of the Messiah coming from the Mount of Olives, riding on a colt that had never been ridden, following the way to Jerusalem while crowds echoed the cries from Psalm 118, "Hosanna, save us. But it's not until the very end of the reading that they actually enter Jerusalem. They go to the temple, and it says Jesus looks around at everything. The Greek here hints at a kind of intense stare, really surveying each and everything about the temple. It's a thorough examination, but ultimately it's a little anticlimactic. They survey everything in the temple. But it's getting kind of late, so they leave for the night. If I were in that crowd, I wouldn't quite know what to think. Right? We have this incredibly emotional day. Walking with Jesus into Jerusalem. Hosanna, save us. We get to the temple. And he looks around and then we go home. Would seem a little anticlimactic. It's building, and in our storytelling imaginations, we see Jesus and the crowds riding into Jerusalem and clashing with authorities, and these things will happen, just not in the way the crowd may expect. They've accompanied Jesus into town expecting one thing, but are wholly unprepared for where this road leads. They throw their coats on the road to make way for their conquering hero. The crowds think they're attending a victory rally, but they've actually joined the beginning of a funeral procession. We jump ahead four chapters in Mark, and it's important to know that Jesus spends the time in between the procession into Jerusalem and the reading where he is arrested, condemned, and crucified. He spends those four chapters in between really pressing those in power and those with authority about the suffering they've caused and the injustices they uphold. He overturns tables and upsets the economic orders of the day. He drives out those in power and exposes their sin. He tells parables about their wickedness. And suddenly, in the midst of this, there's something in the spirit of the crowd that changes. The energy that had carried Jesus there on shouts of Hosanna begin to turn against Jesus, and they really wonder what they may have gotten themselves into. Instead, their shouts become shouts of crucify him. Energy of a crowd can shift so quickly. When we pick up the story again, all have deserted Jesus. The crowds that walked with him into Jerusalem, the crowds that accompanied him to the temple in that first reading, they're nowhere to be found. In just four short chapters, in just the span of a few days. And he's mocked. He's beaten. He's stripped of his clothes and crowned with thorns. If there's a single day in the liturgical calendar, this church year that we spend our years going through, if there's a single day that captures the dissonance at our heart of faith, it's Palm Sunday. Because it's both festive, celebrating the power of Jesus, casting our lot in with him. Hosanna, save us, we cry. All glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King. But then it turns. It's celebratory and ominous in equal turn. It's the Word made flesh riding on a donkey. It's the story of a king who suffers. It's cries of Hosanna that easily turn in to crucify him. It's all of these things, all of this tension held together in the span of a day. I love what Frederick Buechner, a pastor and author, what he writes about Palm Sunday. He says it's despair and hope that travel the road to Jerusalem together. as together they travel every road we take. Despair at what our madness we bring down on our own heads, and hope in Him who travels the road with us and for us, and who is the only one of us all who is not mad. In this story that we're brought face to face with the despair and the hope that we carry in equal measure, as we remember the story of a God who dies so that we may live. So welcome to Holy Week. Welcome to the week that will forever change the world. Here we are gathered together, a community with all of our contradictions, all of our despair and our hope, all of our expectations, when things don't exactly go how we think they will. Here are our cries of Hosanna and crucify. Here is all of the things that we carry within us that don't make sense. And here is a God who meets us. God who meets us in our cries of glory and in our cries of despair. As we cry, blessed is the one who humbles himself to be exalted. Blessed is the one who dies that we may live. And so we say thanks be to God. Amen.